I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Thank you for coming and joining us with our evening service this Sunday evening. As we come together and worship, very thankful that our young ladies have joined us again for the evening service. And Brother John, of course, is going to play the piano for us. But we're going to open up with a word of prayer, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. I know it's via online, but it's the best we can do right now, and we are praying and looking forward to when we can all come back together. It is interesting, as I've been calling and talking to families, every single family I've talked to so far tells me they are live streaming. One of two things: we have a very faithful church, or they're lying to their pastor, one or the other. I'm going to opt for they're very, very faithful. And I'm so grateful for you being with us and worshiping with us tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask Him to be with us. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be able to worship You. And Lord, we do thank You for those who help us in putting together the service, that we really are coming to church. It's online, but yet still we're coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that You would bless us as we worship You, as we sing to You, as we lift up our hearts to You in prayer. And as we look into Your holy word, I ask that You'd empower the preaching and be with each person whose ear is turned towards Your message, that their heart would be open to the truths You have for them. We ask for Your guidance, Your empowering. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So at this time, our praise team is going to come up. We're so thankful that they volunteered. And we're always grateful when folks volunteer to serve the Lord here at Victory Baptist Church.
Let the anthems ring, praise Him.
Thank you very much, ladies. We appreciate that. And John as well. And along with announcements, just kind of want to put out to you a couple prayer requests. As I mentioned this morning, Brother Terry Phillips asked that we would remember to pray for the economy. It's certainly struck some of the farmers in odd and unique ways. My understanding is it's really impacted milk and milk prices, as well as the volume of milk. So it's kind of an interesting thing, and Terry mentioned it, and I know when I talked to the Sid and Howie, they also mentioned it. So pray for some of the businesses, even the farms, that are really being impacted. Also, I received a call today from Tammy Wilson, who asked if we would please pray for her mother-in-law, Bea Wilson, who has liver cancer. If you would pray for her and pray for Tammy's family as well. So let's take a moment. Let's pray for those two things. And remember, if there's any way we can help you, reach out to us and we will do our very best to be there for you. So let's pray for these two things. Lord in heaven, I do pray that you be with Tammy and her family, that you would do a work in their hearts, help them to sense and know your presence as you draw them near to you. We certainly pray for her mother-in-law, Bea, who is a committed Christian lady who's already had victory over breast cancer 3 times. But Lord, now she's facing liver cancer. I pray that you would be with her, touch her body, raise her up from this, give her that sense of knowing that you are her great physician. Help her to find peace in you. And Lord, I do pray that you would be with our church family. Every circumstance is different. Every person's situation is different. And I just pray that as you know best, that you would be with each family. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So again, I want to mention to you, don't forget, we do have the food bank. We have a little sign at the end of the driveway right there on Route 7, reminding folks that if they wanted, they can stop in, and we've had some response to that. But most especially, we really do want to minister to our church family. So don't hesitate to reach out to us. All right, I know that our praise team has practiced and they're ready for another group of songs. So we're going to turn it over to them.
Singing glory.
you very much. That was a blessing. We have been working on also having specials for our services. So if you would like to be a part of that, you might talk to Brother John about that. Maybe you've been part of the music ministry. Maybe you were part of the choir before the COVID-19 situation we're all in. And if you would like to reach out, talk to Brother John, see if we can't put together some special music. But we're very grateful for those who have volunteered and who pop in and help us to put together the service. So this evening, what I'd like you to do with me is turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 24 is the text I'm going to read for you. And then the real verse that we're going to springboard from is verse 16. But largely, we're going to stay within this text. I have a few cross-references we're going to go look at. But this morning, when I preached, I mentioned to you that tonight we were going to focus a little bit more on spiritual growth. So we talked about that this morning, about spiritual maturity, and we certainly saw that in the great prophet. But tonight, as we come, we're going to go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read to you verses 11 down through 24. So listen to the text. Listen as God inspires the Apostle Paul to write these things down, and listen to all these places where we can draw truth to learn about spiritual growth. So starting at verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now listen to verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So just verse 12 alone, we recognize and understand that God wants us to effectively minister and grow, that we can be the kind of Christian he needs us to be. Even in him referencing, "for the perfecting of the saints." He wants us to improve and grow in our spiritual walk, drawing towards the perfection he desires for us. And then, of course, when you look in the middle of verse 12 there, he says, "for the work of the ministry." Well, in order for us to effectively do the work of the ministry, we need ourselves to be growing in our spiritual walk. And then, of course, when you look at the third part of verse 12 there, he says, "for the edifying of the body of Christ." You and I as Christians should be edifying one another. In fact, John and I were just talking about this afternoon. You know, sometimes we get notes or we get messages or whatever from folks who are extremely discouraging. And we have to read them, we have to address them, and we say to ourselves, well, you know what? We absorb whatever advice or criticism they might have for us or the church, but then we have to deal with it and lay it aside. Because if we focused on those negative things every day, it would be very hard to serve the Lord. It's hard to edify others when sometimes folks do their best to not edify us. But I have to say the vast majority of our church, truly, they do encourage us as we minister for our Lord towards you. And we're very grateful for those who are edifying in the things they say and do to help us as we minister. So when we look at verse 12 there, we are reminded, even as we read through the text, God wants us to grow spiritually so that we can help in the work and the edification of the body of Christ. We come to verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When we look at this text, he covers so much about spiritual growth, desiring for you and I to really work on improving our spiritual body, the church, our spiritual body, the temple of the Holy Spirit right here. I want you to listen again to verse 16. Listen to what he says in verse 16. Talking about verse 15, where it references that Christ is the head, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He's talking to you and I about our person spiritually, about our church spiritually, that you and I would let Christ shape us and form us and strengthen us, that we might be spiritually mature. So I'm going to take you down through this text. And first of all, I'm going to show you that we need to maintain a clear perspective if we're going to spiritually grow. We have to have a proper perspective, how we see things and perceive things. I want you to look with me at verses 13 and 14 and 15. Listen to these verses. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's just verse 13. He's talking to you and I in verse 13 about our faith and about how our faith needs to be a faith of action. Listen to what he says. Till we all come in the unity of what? The faith. We need to be unified. Part of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth is knowing what you believe and why you believe it. You and I should be students of the word. We should sit under the preaching and teaching. We ourselves should spend time reading the scriptures and searching it and asking God to give us wisdom, that we might be united in our faith as we serve the Lord. In fact, look again with me at verse 13. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, our goal is to know him as he knows us. You know, the Bible tells us that when we get to heaven, we will know ourselves as he knows us. Well, all this lifetime, we should be striving to come into unity in Christ, that we might have full knowledge of him as he has full knowledge of us. In other words, striving to know God and to know Christ in us. It takes time and effort, doesn't it, to really know the Lord? One thing is to receive him into our hearts and our lives by faith, but another is to grow in our faith, that we might be in unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Look as we come down a little bit farther in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's literally saying to you and I that we should grow into the fullness of Christ. In other words, he should be working in and through us that we would come, that we ourselves would be conformed in our nature, our character, our person to who Jesus Christ is. We should have the love of Christ living in us and through us. We should have the compassion of Christ in us and through us. We should have the ministry, the desire to help and serve and sacrifice for others in us and through us, coming to the full stature of Christ in our lives. Look with me as we come down to verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. You see, he's talking to you and I about spiritual stability. If our Christian walk is going to be a walk of spiritual maturity, it requires a level of spiritual stability. That's what he's telling us there when he starts off in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Altogether, too many Christians are all over the place in their Christian walk. You know, one year they're wanting to serve the Lord. One year you can't get them to even attend church. One year they're wanting to be a vibrant, active person representing Christ on the job and in their community. And the next year they're off base and, man, living like the devil instead of like God. They're up and down and all over the place in their spiritual walk. God says, wait, stop. We need to not be like children, tossed to and fro, up one day, down next day, all over the place. He's saying to you and I, if we're going to be spiritually mature, we need to become not like little children, but grow up in Christ. I want you to look with me, if you would, over to Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 5. And I'm going to read to you verses 12 down through 14. Listen to these few verses. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So he's saying to us here, he's saying, listen, you can't stay like little babies. You've got to grow up in your faith so that you can understand righteousness and unrighteousness, so that you can discern what is of God and what isn't, and so that you yourself can be mature. We have to strive towards spiritual stability. It's so interesting when you look at that where he references being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Boy, I'll tell you, sometimes it takes so little to blow Christians off track. You and I, we have to be strong in who we are and in our faith in our Lord. It's up to us to go ahead and decide, I'm not going to be blown off track. I'm not going to allow this to happen. Years ago when I pastored in Kansas and my son Josh was really just a little preschooler, our church sat out in the midst of a meadow area. And the wind in Kansas, I mean, it howls there. In fact, one of the houses we lived in, the wind would blow, and literally like a train whistle, it would blow across the top of the chimney, and you could hear it like a train whistle blowing across the top. Well, one day, as Josh was getting ready to go out the door of the church, I told him, I said, wait, Josh, because I knew the wind was really blowing. But he went ahead and he unclicked that door, and that door literally caught the wind and threw him out the door into a bush beside the steps there. You see, that's because he was just a little preschooler. And it didn't take much of a wind to toss him about. Well, sometimes spiritually, Christians can be like that. They have no footing, no grounding, no weight and might and strength. And it just takes a gust of wind and it throws them off track. God says, we need to strive towards spiritual stability. Look at what he goes on to say to us in our text in verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You and I, in our spiritual walk, we need to learn to be strong in preaching and teaching and helping others to see the truth. But I want you to note that there's a qualifier here. Look again with me at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. You and I sometimes as Christians, if we're not careful, we can be really harsh with the truth. And God says, well, wait a minute. If you're going to be spiritually mature and strong, you need to speak that truth with love. So each of us tonight, as we're studying the Word of God here, I want to challenge you in your heart, in your life, to think about and consider when you're helping others, whether it's your children or your spouse or you're a young person and you're talking to your parents, and you have an opportunity to enlighten them to something, make sure you do it with love, because that is what Christ would do. So when you look at this, as we come down into verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Isn't it interesting? In verse 15, he tells us we need to grow up. We need to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we are just altogether too immature spiritually. And the saddest thing is, oftentimes, it's the most immature who think they're the most mature. Have you ever seen that in just dealing with people in general? Sometimes you meet people and you think to yourself, you know, this is a 12-year-old who thinks they're 22 years old. But they're really only 12. And you know it. They just haven't come to understand it yet. Well, sometimes that's the way it is with spiritual people, too. They think themselves to be so spiritually mature, but they've not yet grown up. And so here he is telling us that we ourselves need to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So all of us, me too, we have to strive in our spiritual lives to continue to grow spiritually that we might honor God. Look with me, if you would, in verses 17 down through 21. And here, not only do we see this maturity, him challenging us concerning our actions, but also our attitudes. Listen to what he says in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of your mind. So he's going to start to address for us our attitude, how we perceive not only others, but ourselves, the vanity of our minds. If we're not careful, we think of ourselves much more than we really are. If we're not careful, we think of others much less than they really are. Our vanity takes over. And so here he tells us, he says, listen, you and I, if we're going to walk in the Lord, if we're going to represent Christ in our life, then we need to not walk as people who don't know Christ, who are not children of God, who care nothing about spiritual truth. He says, that's not the way we should be living. We need to bring our perspective in to where we humble ourselves before God not in the vanity of our minds, but rather in the humility of Christ. Starting to see that attitude adjustment. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans. Hopefully at home you have your Bible out, or maybe you have your electronic device on with the Bible turned on. So I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you verses 20 down through 22. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This is God speaking to all humanity, and He's saying, you know, it's an interesting thing that folks in the vanity of their own minds, in the immaturity of their own being, they cannot see the invisible God by the evidence of all that He's done. And certainly if you and I look around, we look around at the world and all that is therein, and we look beyond into the heavens beyond, we see the handiwork of God. It's one of the reasons why during the Bible Hour, we're showing these little video clips that show us the science that verifies God's creative hand. And I challenge you, go back and watch those Bible Hour every Sunday morning. Those Bible Hour lessons, that little video clip in there. Acts of Facts is the people who put that out, and they're scientific creation scientists. Look at those. The evidence of the invisible God by the work of His hand. You and I, part of our spiritual maturity is learning to not listen to the vanity of the unsaved, those who reject and deny God, but embrace the truth of the true and living God. Look with me, if you would, back to our text there in Ephesians chapter 4. Look down with me at verse 18 as we continue to look at that adjustment of our perspective. Verse 18, he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, we really need to pray for folks who don't know the Lord. That blindness that has set upon their hearts, that unwillingness to see. It's interesting here that the way he references it, he's saying their understanding has been darkened. They've been alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They lack that knowledge and understanding because, he says, of the blindness of their heart. Rather than us condemn them, we need to pray for them. We need to, in some way, try to encourage them. It's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes, even when you're trying to encourage them, they may be offended by the very act of trying to reach out to them or care for them. But we need to understand that blind heart just cannot see. They do not understand. Verse 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And so we need to pray. Pray for those who don't know God, who don't love the Lord, who have never come to Christ for salvation. Pray that there might become an understanding, a newness, an awareness, that the Holy Spirit might do a work in their hearts and lives. We want to pray that they don't get past feeling. You know, the Holy Spirit pricks our heart. He stirs our soul. We want to pray that the people we know and love don't get past feeling that. So pray for your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Pray for those who don't know Christ. That's an attitude of perspective, where instead of condemning them and judging them, we begin to pray for them and care about them. As we come down a little bit farther in our text, I want you to see that he gives us some clear methods. We're going to apply some clear methods in spiritual growth. Look with me at verses 20 down through 24. He says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." So he starts out by talking to us about, you know what, if you want to see these changes come into your life, you need to let the Spirit of God in you help you. And that's what he's referencing when he says, you've not learned these bad behaviors from Jesus Christ. You've not learned a hard heart, a dark heart. You've not learned to pursue lasciviousness and all evil forms of wickedness. He says, you haven't learned that from Jesus Christ. If you know Christ, he goes on to say in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, I'm sure you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, well, how would I hear Jesus? How would I be taught by Jesus? I'm living here in the year 2020, but I do want to also point out to you that the church in Ephesus, they weren't hearing or seeing Jesus either. He was crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended up to heaven long before the Apostle Paul went and started a church in Ephesus. So what's he talking about in having this relationship with Christ where it says, if ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus? Well, the reality is he's referencing the work of God in us. When you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we accept him, the scriptures teach us that his Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. In fact, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, when you go there and you read, Christ said, yes, I'm going to leave, but my Father's going to send another, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he would instruct us and comfort us, and he would bring to our remembrance the things we learn. And so here, as you look at verse 21, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to this church in Ephesus, these people haven't been taught at the feet of Jesus. They haven't heard his voice, but he dwells within their hearts. And through spiritual maturity, they let him guide him and instruct him. They let him do a work within them. In you and I, that's part of our spiritual growth, is allowing God to do that within us. Not being so immature that we're tossed to and fro. Not being so immature that we don't take time to focus and listen and concentrate. Not being so immature that we allow ourselves to become hard and calloused, but rather remaining soft and sensitive to the presence of God within us. So he tells us, we need to make sure that we know him, because if we know Christ, he is not going to teach us those things that would harm us and hurt us. But if we know Christ, we need to listen to him. We need to learn from him as he does a work within each of us. In fact, when you come down to verses 22 through 24, he talks to us about that relationship, that new birth, that transformation that comes to us in Christ. Listen to what he says in verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what the Lord wants to do in us. He wants you and I to come to that place where we receive Christ and the old man passes away. Christ called it being born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. That we become a new person in Christ, born again. But also, our whole life changes. That's what he means when he says in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That word conversation, there's an old English word that means lifestyle. He says you put off that old lifestyle and you take upon yourself Christ in you and through you. You take upon yourself that new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he says in verse 23. Each of us, as we learn the word of God, as we sit under the teaching and preaching of his principles, we begin to see a transformation in the way that we perceive all things. Because that's God doing a work within us, renewing our mind. And he comes into verse 24 and he says, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, he wants to change every person. Every person, all part of mankind, all humans that will come to Christ, come for salvation, let him change you, make you a new person. He says, I will transform you. I'll transform your thinking. I'll transform your lifestyle. I will help you to grow in your faith that you might be created in righteousness and true holiness, that you might come to the form and shape of Christ as he would have you to be. You and I, we should be striving towards spiritual growth. It should be a part of who we are as believers. And I want to challenge you tonight. If you've never received Christ as your Savior and you're watching this video this evening, wherever you may be, you merely need to accept the gift that God offers to you. For the wages of sin is death, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Turn from your sin. Confess to God you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you and receive him. Receive his gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Accept him into your heart and soul. And then let him change you. You see, it's not about you changing you. It's about him helping you, after you've received him into your heart and life, helping you grow and mature spiritually. Let's close our service this evening in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you be with each and every one of us, all those who have received you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow in our faith. Lord, we know that there are many forces that try to pull us back, try to discourage us and defeat us. But Lord, your Holy Spirit dwells within our hearts and woos and beckons us to spiritual growth. Help us, Lord, to learn and listen, to follow and obey, that we might grow in our spiritual walk. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.